Welcome.
So good to be here.
Are you ready for some love?
I love love.
Looking for love.
Oh, looking for love. I love it. Okay, so why do you think, here's a good question for us to sort of kick off the show, that love is the first of the fruit mentioned when Paul is speaking to the churches in Galatians, says the fruit of the Spirit is, number one, love. Why do you think love was the first? What are your thoughts?
God is love. That's like 1 John 4. And then it unpacks and goes out into these other fruits as well. Because I think when you're rooted in that love, these other ones, it's like the fertilizer for everything else that grows.
Ah, okay. So that's why love as the first.
I just feel it's the greatest commandment, you know? Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like it's we lead with love. I feel like, you know, it's the trademark of Christianity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's how people identify us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think if God gave his son, it was the greatest gift of all. And Jesus Christ was love, right? Just like God is love. Mm-hmm. It was that gift to us of love.
Yeah. Good. Joanna, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's the basis, as we said. It's the fertilizer. It might even be the soil that all the other things are happening in. That if we don't have love, all the list of other things we're going to talk about in future episodes of our show, they can't happen without that primary thing happening.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about love and the example of Jesus, right? When you're thinking of scriptures or moments in the Bible about Jesus, what comes to mind as just an example that he personified or did that kind of leads us to say, that's how we should live in love? Mm. What are some examples that you would say that Jesus really, you know, showed us?
I think about that verse in where Jesus feeds the 5,000 with the two loaves of bread and the fish. And it's the Bible says that in compassion, he saw that people were hungry and he multiplied for them. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't want to leave people hungry. And like that's one of the ways that he loved us.
Mm-hmm. So love is actually fulfilling like a base physical need.
Yeah.
But he's saying that he actually saw the need of the people.
Yeah.
Is it actually right now you need actually food? Because you're hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cheryl.
I think about the woman caught in the middle of adultery. And I pull from that love rescues. And love intervenes. Yeah. It intercedes. It stands in the gap of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that is ultimately what Christ has done and is still doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lisa, what about you?
I'm thinking of two very particular moments in Jesus's ministry towards the end. And when he's on the cross in Luke 23, it's, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And in Matthew 26, this is before his crucifixion, he calls Judas friend. Go do what you need to do. I mean, Jesus is not sarcastic, like, your friend, go do what you need to do. It's like, I think there was an endearment there because he loved Judas despite the fact that he was going to betray him to the utmost. And he's beyond, because of the way that Judas lived his life and the decisions he made, he was not saved, but there's still love there.
Yeah.
And that just shatters me.
Jesus was always selflessly thinking about other people, never himself. Even on the cross, he's thinking of his neighbor.
Yeah.
You know,
like even when he disagreed with people, right?
Yeah.
Like this idea of love also through saying true things about how people, like it wasn't loving if he didn't tell people the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think of like the rich young ruler who says, what can I do to gain eternal life?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jesus says, you have to sell everything. You lack this one thing and you have to sell everything and come follow me. And the rich young ruler goes away. But Jesus tries to help him. The news isn't good, like sell everything, but he's trying even when he's telling you hard things or when he's calling out the religious leaders in difficult ways that they don't like. He's doing it because he loves them and is desiring for them to see clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, in our world today, there's so much confusion about love.
Yeah.
Because love has been equated with this, you know, with sex, with the emotion, with how I feel. What would you say to someone who's like, I'm actually confused about what really love is? Because when we actually talk about this, we talk in reference to agape love. But what does that really mean? Because I want to kind of shatter that we've created a culture and society that, that love is something a lot less than what, you know, what Jesus is about and personifies. Talk to me about that. What is like love? We see it in Jesus, but what does that really look like?
For me, it calls to mind the Old Testament story of Hosea. Because Israel's got this problem of not loving the God that loves them. And he's like, I'm going to show you what it's going to look like, how I love you. Yeah. And then there's Hosea and Gomer and the kids that are born out of that.
Okay, so talk about Gomer for some people who don't
understand Gomer is the wife that God, well, the woman that God tells Hosea to marry, and she's unfaithful.
She's a busy lady.
I mean, the Bible calls her a harlot. She's a prostitute. Yeah. That's her profession. Yeah. And yet, as Hosea tries to be that husband, she's, you know, doing what her profession is, and it breaks his heart. There's kids involved in the whole thing, and God's that hesed, that loving kindness, the steadfast love. Yeah. I'm in this for the long run.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, Brooke and I were just speaking recently about the kind of love, like, in your family, and it's something going on in my family, where we've seen people who are sick and people who come and love them. Like, love is lying on the floor of the hospital to sleep that night to care for someone. Yeah. It's this selfless love. Selfless. You know, and I think a lot of people don't know a lot about that kind of love because the people in their life are very selfish and they don't have a lot of people who are going to be there for them when the hard times come or when they screw up. Are they going to actually be there to love you through it?
So selfless, unconditional, other focused. When we look at the verse 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done in love. How do you feel? What are your thoughts?
Guilty as charged. Okay, so here's the truth. I am still working that out because I feel like we measure opportunity and benefits in a different way. I'm going to do this because it's going to work for me. I'm going to do this because I'll get this instead. And so to do it sacrificially in love means I am doing it whether I'm seen or not. I'm doing it whether I receive or not, whether there's some, it's just because of that condition of my heart to see you be blessed, loved, restored, whatever.
Wow. So love
nothing,
is not, that's what I say.
Expecting nothing in return.
But it seems like a lot of us will love or do something as long as and only if we get something in return. That we feel love, that we get something like tangible and practical. And so I think that's really good. That's a good challenge for us.
Yeah, I think let all that we do be done sacrificially, caring for others before thinking of your own needs at all. Like if you say it that way, I'm reminded of, Joanna kind of touched base on this. My grandmother passed away last week, and my mother, she was 96, and my mother, who's 72, she spent the night in the hospital for countless nights on the floor just to be with her mother. And, you know, it didn't bother her, obviously. I mean, she's kind of older herself. And so I was so touched by that. I thought that is sacrificial love. Yeah. Like, I hope to love somebody the way that I've seen my mother love her mother.
We need to see that, right? We all need to see it so that we can know what to do ourselves.
Absolutely.
So Jesus demonstrated it for us.
Yes. Love demonstrated.
But we also have the privilege of having some people who are older and wiser than us, maybe, who can model it for us. Because we haven't yet mastered it. We need to be in the school of love. Don't we? Like by your mother. Your mom is teaching you.
That's
love
good.
That.
Lisa, what are your thoughts?
It's about the motivation of the heart and why you're doing something. And it's interesting because sometimes you don't want to do it, but there's an obligation there. And then the love grows because we're human. It's not always this ideal package. And the other thing about that is that when you're doing all things or anything out of love, you don't necessarily need to love what you're doing. It's because of the relationship. It's because you love God, because you love your mother, loved her mother. It's because you love your husband, your kids, that you do certain things that you might not love because it's not about doing the thing. It's about the relationship.
Yeah, and not just about doing the thing. It's about the feeling. I think we always equate that how I feel, then I must be in love or I love how I feel. Well, in many of the shows that we've done, we've talked a lot about that. That a lot of times it's a choice. It's not about feeling. Yeah, it's a heart choice. And sometimes you have to just do the hard thing. Even when you don't feel like it or want to do it, you do.
And it's God who helps us.
Yes.
Right? It's if we're doing it on our own strength, it only lasts so long. But like, God, help me, transform me from the inside out, transform my mind, transform my heart. I can't do this. There's nothing natural about this.
What would you say then, as people are listening, watching, and say, you know what, I don't think I'm a loving person. I really struggle in this area because I'm very transactional. I always want something in return. What would be some encouragement or advice to say, how do we begin each and every day to say, I choose love? What would you say?
For me, I would say it's a very specific prayer. It's not enough to say, God, help me to love, because love is always relative to our terms, our definition, our way of being. It's gotta be, God, give me your heart. Give me the heart of God. If we can love as he loves, then there you go. And the surgery begins from right. there.
Yeah. So a prayer, and maybe a prayer every morning or before you go to bed to say
that. Yeah, not teach me how to love, but teach me how to love like you. Yeah.
Love like you. It's great.
You set me right up.
Yeah.
So I was as you were saying that, I felt there's a song that Brooke Fraser sings, and it's "Break my heart for what breaks yours. Mm-hmm. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Yeah. Show me how to love like you have loved me."
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just feel, I feel like that's that is the deepest cry of my heart. It's like, show me how to love like you have loved me.
Show me how to love.
And we have a God who wants to do that, because throughout the Old Testament and the New, it's always like, I will replace your heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. And it is that prayer, because when the person says, I'm not a loving person, well, you're not, because sin. None of us are. None of us are, because we have these selfish, you know, motivations in our heart, and we're human. We like to protect ourselves. But when God takes a hold of that, it's really empowering. You'd be surprised at how generous he can make our hearts, and how broad and how deep. And lying on the floor, you know, next to grandma, or, you know, loving kids who might not love you back at all, right?
Yeah.
Longevity
yeah.
in a relationship.
So I'm hearing that there is, you know, this choice.
Yeah.
It's not based on feeling, it's choice, but that we don't do it in our own strength.
Yeah.
It's always saying, God, help me to be. And thank you, Jesus, that you gave us the example of how to, by seeing your life as you modeled it for us. Those are really great thoughts. Well, thank you so much. Well, let's talk about inspiring, because our guest today knows a thing or two about love. He's an honorary consul for the Republic of Uganda and has written the New York best-selling book, Love Does, and the follow-up book, Everybody Always, where he reveals lessons he's learned, often the hard way, about what it means to love without inhibition, insecurity, or restriction, and that the path toward the liberated existence we all long for is found only in a truth as simple to say as it is hard to do. Love people, even the difficult ones, without distinction and without limits. Well, now let's go to Edmonton, Alberta, and hear what Bob Goff has to say about love. Bob Goff, thank you so much for being here on See, Hear, Love. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks a million for having me.
We're kicking off love, and I have a feeling you know a little bit about love.
Well, I'm learning about it.
You're learning.
I definitely talk about it a lot.
Yes. So I know that as we talk about love, and you know, we've had a discussion about why love would have been the first fruit mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit, I love your quote saying, you know, it's not just about receiving and giving love, it's actually about becoming love. I actually never heard about it that way. Explain it to me.
Yeah, you can actually turn into love. Like, you read the scriptures, like God is love, and that we want to be like him. And so that whole idea of, in the things that you do, we don't need to have people ricocheting off of each other. You can just actually just say, what would like love do in this thing? Not the most dramatic response, but the most kind response to people. And that's throughout scripture. Like, even that idea of, like, Jesus came filled with grace and truth. Mm. And it's 100% of both, but grace comes first. And people who are trying to become love, I seem to be filled with grace.
Wow. You make it seem so easy. And yet when I read your book and I look at your life, it's fun, you've got great stories. But when I actually think about my own life, I'm deeply disturbed and convicted about the lack, really, of love that I show to everybody always.
Yeah.
What's my problem?
No,
why am I not loving in the way that, you know, you're talking about?
Yeah, John 17 talked about us being one. And I think you and I are one on that. If you ask Sweet Maria, like, tell me about Bob, she'd be like, buddy, you got a lot to learn. But I realize we're just all students at this. I've been flying seaplanes up here in BC for 20 years. But every time I get a hold of the control tower to come in, I always say I'm a student pilot. Because then they're nice to you. They'll tell you what to do.
Right.
And if we could do that, just say we're students of love. We're student drivers. We're student teachers. We're student everything. So if we could realize that we have a great deal to know about this, but you'll find what you're looking for. And if you're looking for a more loving response, then you'll just actually, you're going to find it. It'll take a little while. You'll need to, like, search for it a little bit. And sometimes it means, like, pausing and not saying the immediate thing, but searching for the right thing.
You know, all throughout your life and your stories, it's always about loving the difficult people, which is my challenge. You know, we talk about, you know, love God, love our neighbor, And it sounds, again, so easy, but it's really hard. What has to happen in our heart and in us to say, you know, I need to look at people that way and really love people? Because I think that's going to change the world.
Yeah, I think it might be figuring out the thing behind the thing. You know, like to say, there was a guy that was up in my grill about something, and I'm a pretty hard guy not to get along with. And I put my hand on his shoulder, I said, I'm insecure too. So we have this underlying deal where we're all insecure and we're just dealing with it in different ways. And so we have people that are delivering our mail that are insecure, or leading our countries that are insecure, that when they say, why do they do these wacky things? It's just insecurity and it pops out. And I realize I am too. What I'm trying to do is have an accurate, right view of myself, but more importantly, to have a right view of other people, to say that they're dealing with their stuff and it's probably really complicated. They have felt some rejection before, and I just want to be the guy that adds to it.
So grace and love are so intertwined, because that's a gracious, grace-filled response.
And it takes a moment to see past the big whatever it is that's up in your face, to realize they're just trying to figure out things in their own timing. And what I want to do is make it all happen right away.
Yes.
Like literally, I'm that guy.
Totally, me too.
Super impatient.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things I'm trying to do is slow it down a little bit and to just give a little bit of time. Do you know what? If you want a radish, it takes one seed in 20 days. But if you want a pear, it takes one seed in 7 years. And I keep putting everything in the microwave, and Jesus keeps pulling it out and putting it in the crock pot. And so, like, that whole idea to just slow down a little bit, and God is not working in their life in the way he's working in my life right now, and just chill out about that.
That's good.
Don't
chill
try
out.
To fix that. And don't wave a bony finger. Buy a puppy if you need to, but don't be up in everybody's grill about things. Just chill out. God is up to beautiful things. He is the king above all. And just relax in that. Delight in that.
Do you think people are uptight?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've been down to the States recently.
I have.
Yeah, we've got that guy. And so one of the things we want to do is just when these things, it doesn't mean the truth somehow bends on that. Just say, you know what's true. You know what you believe, why you believe. And you're going to say, how can I affect the people around me with truth and love? And it's how do you do that right where I am? And decide that. And there's a couple things I can't do something about, but there's a longer list of things that I can do something about. And that's what I'm starting with.
It's amazing. You know, we just talked about the verse in 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done in love.
Yeah, that nails it. I wouldn't add a thing or subtract
it.
The Revelations, it says if you start adding to that, you get every curse right in your lap. So find these ambitions that are beautiful ambitions for the people around you. I'm a big scripture guy. So I would just dive into what scripture has to say. If you have difficult people, say, is there something that's where somebody else in the scriptures confronted something like that? And say, what did they do? I haven't read one psalm and have like some of the psalmists say, everything's great. They were actually getting authentic. They were saying like, wow, I am really wondering about these things. I think you can't turn into love if you can't get authentic with people. And so find one person that you could be authentic with, that you could just get real with. And then for you and I, just be Switzerland. Nobody's mad at them. They're not mad at anybody. If I could walk around with a bobsled and a bar of chocolate in my pocket, I would. It'd just be a safe place for people. And
it's amazing.
It gives them
that.
An opportunity to say authentic things to you and then to you to respond in authenticity. But if they think you're going to get your finger in their face, then they're just going to back off and they'll just avoid you. And I'm just trying to not have people avoid important conversations.
Yeah. You know, Bob, I think we've made it really complicated. Like, I think we put a lot of either boundaries or expectations or, you know, things around relationships and about love. And I think it's really important, as you're saying, it's like, chill out. And, you know, be open. I think the one thing that I was really challenged about is that everybody is our neighbor. We think our neighbor is, you know, I always thought my neighbor is, you know, the person who lives beside me or across from me on the street. But you actually said God created the world beautifully and that he made everybody our neighbor, that we are meant to love.
Yeah.
And that changes, like, my perspective on the world and how I see people.
And it's actually the difficult ones that are the best teachers, because they cause you to stretch your faith. Just go like, am I just going to be polite and avoid them, or am I going to be Jesus and engage them? But not with an agenda, but just be like, I just want to engage you and find out, instead of asking what's their biggest opinion, ask who's your best friend and how come. Wow. And they say, I don't have any friends. And you might be thinking, I know. There's a reason. Yeah. But they might tell you about this friend that's touched them, say, like, how come? Like, what is it about them? And they say, they were really loyal. And you're just going to have a different conversation. Yeah. And then you might get around to their opinions, but you'll have built this trust of, like, you can share who your best friend is and why and all that. And it's the big Jesus moment. It's the actually all the moments are Jesus moments. Yeah. Just be like, love people, no agenda.
So good. Bob, to our viewers and listeners, just a last encouragement about love. As we jump into the series about the mark of a follower of Jesus is to live out these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, something that, you know, the Holy Spirit will give us, Jesus will help us with. But what would you say in the terms of love, you'd say to encourage our friends?
I'd say find a more humble version of each of us. And so, like, so I'll turn 60 in February. And so what I'm spending my time is doing, thinking, who's Bob when he's 70? Who's that guy? And a lot of us know why we did what we did, but we've forgotten why we're doing what we're doing. And so we're living in the past. We're kind of wrapped around the axle with broken relationships, disappointments, and hurts. I'm not saying ignore those. Figure out that stuff, but have it propel you towards the next version of you and make that version of you a more humble version. A more approachable version. Like, doesn't mean you lack opinions. I'm a lawyer, I got an opinion about everything, but I don't tell everybody my opinion about everything. Yeah. You don't have to swing at every pitch, but you could be actually present, and that would be the last thought. Be where your feet are. Like, literally, just be present. We got a lot of people in proximity to one another, but they're not actually here. They're on their phones, they're thinking about this. Just be right here. Like, right now, all here. I'm not thinking about anything else, me and you. And there's something beautiful about that. People will sense that you're there. You're there. Living in an undistracted life.
Be present and love everybody always.
I think that would do it. That would be great. And I'm not there yet, but I know what I'm aiming for.
Amazing. Bob Goff, thank you so much for your words, your thoughts, your convictions. And it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, thanks a million.
Thanks. Well, we'll have more on love on our website at seehearlove.com. So make sure you check out also our Facebook page and Instagram for highlights on this show and others. And remember, let all you do be done in love. And know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Hear Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See Hear Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.